And now you get to hear another cut of I'm Changing All Those Changes and listen to the difference.
I should have reconsidered all those things that I did. So now I'm changing all those changes that I made.
Wow. That's a big difference, folks. Now you can hear what made Buddy Holly famous. This is the Buddy Holly style. From this point out, folks, you'll hear his music become more sophisticated. Much more popular, and he soared straight to the top of the charts. Technically, that was a bad song, and the pitch was way too high for Buddy's voice. But the rest is history.
I love you.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, was the first manifestation of that stuttering, strolling, tremolo that later was to appear in Peggy Sue and bring Buddy Holly, probably the greatest group of fans that any rock and roll star has ever had. Now, one of Gary Bourgeois' favorites coming up, and check it out.
Well, I'm just a poor young boy, and he just finds out why. I'm just a poor young boy.
Only on Classic Radio, the way you always wished it could be, 101.1 Eager. The great Buddy Holly.
Love me too. I
These next three cuts, ladies and gentlemen, were made on 15 November 1956 in Bradley's Barn in Nashville, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee, in the night. We're gonna rock around with Hollaby, Hollaby, Hollaby. Hollaby, says she's gonna do me right tonight. I'm gonna wear my blue suede shoes tonight in the night. We're gonna rock around with Hollaby, Hollaby. We're rocking through the green and the blue tonight. We're rocking through the same, gonna be alright in the night. We're gonna rock through the rhythm and the blue. Hey!
You can hear him clearly continuing to develop that famous Buddy Holly sound that was to manifest itself at its peak later in Peggy Sue.
I'm gonna shout, laugh, holler, and a giggle tonight. I'm gonna shake it just a little in the middle of the night. Just tonight, we're gonna rock around with all of these, all of these. Well, hey, Mr. Cop, look out tonight. He's trying to put a stop to me tonight. Just tonight, we're gonna rock around with all of these, all of these. Well, rock the music and the music tonight. Rock is everything gonna be all right in the night. We're gonna rock through the rhythm and the blues. Hey!
Modern Don Juan, he wasn't. But a rock and roll star, he was. Buddy Holly. I'm William Cooper, and this is the Hour of the Time on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Thank you. It's Monday night. It's a beautiful day in Eager, Arizona, and everybody in the world is listening to the Hour of the Time.
You are my world. My heart on fire, your eyes, your lips, and your smile, they make my life so worthwhile.
This next one you're going to hear, ladies and gentlemen, is the best thing that ever happened to every girl named Donna. Made every boy want one of those. Ricky Valens. And because of this song is the reason why a lot of people are on this earth today. Talk about baby booms.
All by myself, waiting on you.
that song played at the Sox Hops, folks. The dance floor filled up so fast that if you weren't standing there already, you didn't get to dance. Because you couldn't find a spot to step onto. Remember Sock Hops? I'm talking to everybody that's over 40, folks. I don't know if they have Sock Hops anymore. We used to have this big glass ball in the roof of the gym. Every gym had one. And the coach would always be there to make darn sure that nobody stepped on his basketball court with shoes on. That's why they called them Sock Hops. They were always held in the gym. Around the basketball court floor, there were tables and chairs to sit on. And everybody danced bare feet or in their socks. It was a great time to be young. And my little comment about the baby boom really wasn't true about that era. You see, when I went to junior high school and high school, I never knew a girl who got pregnant out of wedlock. And I never knew a girl who got married before she graduated. And I'm not exaggerating, ladies and gentlemen. That's how much things have changed to our great shame. By 1955, Buddy Holly and Bob Montgomery, with bassist Larry Welburn, were incorporating more rock and roll into their act, and they were drawing in particular from the style and actual repertoire of Elvis Presley, whose first records on the Sun label were starting to sell well in and around the South. Buddy Holly and Montgomery, their calling card described their music as Western and bop, were already well known in and around Lubbock, Texas, and they broadcast regularly on radio station KDAV. Owner Dave Stone and one of the station's announcers, High Pockets Duncan, were responsible for promoting many shows in Lubbock, and Holly and Montgomery appeared regularly as local talents supporting artists such as Hank Thompson, Marty Robbins, Ferlin Husky, Webb Pierce, all big attractions at the time, and, of course, the King, Elvis Presley, who was just getting started. On October 14, 1955, KDAV booked Bill Haley into Lubbock on a show which also included Jimmy Rogers' Snow, Hank Snow's son, and Buddy, Bob, and Larry. Nashville booking agent Eddie Crandall was traveling with the show and was impressed with Holly's act. By this time, Holly was performing a mixture of country material on which he doubled with Bob Montgomery with some rock and roll songs which he sang alone. Crandall saw Holly again several weeks later when the group opened the show for Marty Robbins, whom Crandall managed, and was again impressed. In December, he wrote to Dave Stone at KDAV, "Dave, I'm very confident I can do something as far as getting Buddy Holly a recording contract. Marty Robbins also thinks Buddy has what it takes, so all we can do is try." And the very next day, a telegram arrived at KDAV addressed to Stone. The message from Crandall read, "Have Buddy Holly cut four original songs on acetate. Don't change his style at all. Get these to me as soon as possible, airmail special." Well, folks, history has obscured exactly which four songs Holly cut in response to the telegram. But it is probable that two of them were Love Me and Don't Come Back Knockin', though not the versions that you just heard. Both were co-written by Holly and a local Lubbock girl, Sue Parrish. Crandall played the acetate discs to Jim Denny, an important figure in Nashville, who had previously booked acts for the Grand Ole Opry radio show and who had recently set up his own song publishing company. The result was an offer, and the offer resulted in history. Decca Records wanted to record Buddy Holly. Paul Cohen wanted him to sign with his label, but as the company was looking for solo artists and not duos, Bob Montgomery was not included in the offer. Although Holly was reluctant to accept a deal that excluded Montgomery, he was persuaded that he should buy Montgomery himself and the first sessions were set up. Holly had no trouble in forming a band to take with him to record in Nashville. Sonny Curtis, who had played fiddle with Holly on many country sessions and live dates, was an excellent guitarist who was able to play in the same style as Scotty Moore had done on Elvis Presley's early discs, which Holly greatly admired. Larry Wellborn, like Montgomery, dropped out because he was still in school and too young to travel to Nashville. So his place was taken by Don Guest, one of Holly's school contemporaries who had played with him from time to time. Holly would have added Jerry Allison, a long-standing friend and an excellent drummer, to the lineup, but Allison, too, was still in school and unable to make the trip. "As I remember," says Sonny Curtis, "we left for Nashville in a bit of a hurry. Buddy was driving a new Oldsmobile then. There was Don Guest and Buddy and me, and we strapped Don's bass to the top of the car. It was a long trip, and on the way back we were practically broke. I remember we stopped at an aunt's of Buddy's in East Texas so we could get a decent meal." The first session was on January the 26th, 1956, and took place in a studio known as Bradley's Barn on what was then 16th Avenue South. It was one of the very few independent studios in Nashville at the time and was conveniently across the street from Jim Denny's Cedarwood Music Offices. On this first session, although Curtis and Guest were allowed to play, Holly was replaced on rhythm guitar by Grady Martin, a well-respected session musician, in order to allow Holly to concentrate on his own vocal performance and to allow Martin to supply a strong and dominant rhythm, as there was no drummer on this session. The four titles made were Love Me, Don't Come Back Knocking, Midnight Shift, and Blue Days, Black Nights. Several weeks later, on April 16th, Holly's first single was released, Blue Days, Black Nights, and on the flip side, Love Me. Although the record didn't make the charts, it was not a complete flop, and it was even released in Britain in July. At the time, Holly wrote to an agent, "They said my record was very popular around Washington, D.C. and through Missouri, and both Sonny Curtis and Jerry Allison remember their excitement on seeing the record on a jukebox later the same year when they returned to Nashville for their second session. Gene Vincent, who had recently cut Bebopalula in the same studio that Holly was using, once told how he first met Holly. I went back to the hotel, and there was this fella sitting there in the lobby who came up to me and said, 'Excuse me, can I get your autograph?' And I said, 'Haven't I seen you someplace before?' And he said, 'Yeah, my name's Buddy Holly.' He had a record out then called Blue Days, Black Nights. It was a fabulous record." The lack of success discouraged Holly a bit, but the release did help him to get work further afield. From Lubbock, that is, in the southeastern states, with artists such as Sonny James and Farron Young, both big stars at the time, and it was on such tours that he began to acquire a stage presence necessary for a budding rock and roll star. The second session in Nashville on July 22nd was musically a more successful affair, partly because of drummer Jerry Allison's presence. Both Rock Around with Ollie V, track one, side two, and Ting-a-Ling are regarded as some of Holly's finest work of the period. While this session also produced an early version of That'll Be the Day, Holly and Allison had written this last song around a catchphrase John Wayne had used in the film The Searchers, and later, in a remade version, the song was to be Holly's very first hit. However, all five songs cut in July remained unissued for the time being. And according to Sonny Curtis, the session almost never took place at all. Don Guest had no bass and had arranged to borrow one. But as Sonny remembers, "We were going to use somebody's bass, but when we arrived at the session, it wasn't there. It was up at WSM, and we had to go up there real quick and get that bass, or we weren't going to get to record that day or ever again, as a matter of fact." Jerry reckons he, meaning Owen Bradley, wanted to go water skiing, and he gave us 20 minutes to round up that bass. By all accounts, Holly got on well with Owen Bradley and Jim Denny, but Paul Cohen, the label chief, was dubious of Holly's talent. He once called Holly the biggest no-talent I have ever worked with, which may help explain why nothing from the July session was issued. No doubt the age gap was a hindrance, for Holly and the group had no one in Nashville to relate to. As Jerry Allison remembers, back on those dates, I don't even remember which guy was Paul Cohen and which guy was Owen Bradley or who the engineers were. It was like they were the biggies and we were just dips. We didn't groove with them or anything. We were sort of just afraid of them. Sonny Curtis said, in Nashville, we just stayed at the motel and didn't hang around with anybody. Just sort of hung with ourselves or hung up at Marty Robbins' office and chased chicks. Holly and Allison were particularly pleased with their composition of That'll Be the Day, although the recording was in too high a key for Holly to be comfortable with it. Mickey Sullivan explains, Webb Pierce had said to Buddy, if you want to be a hit, sing high. And he sang extremely high, completely out of pitch. It was above his voice range, and he knew it. And he wasn't happy with it. Jerry Allison said, it seems like Owen Bradley said that was the worst song he'd ever heard. And Sonny Curtis had this to say about the whole thing. Yeah, all the engineers thought that was the worst one, which technically it was. But there was this one kid there who swept up the studio, I think. And we got that kid out in the alley and said, hey, which one did you like? And he said, man, I like That'll Be the Day. And we said, yeah, you're so right. On the next and final session in November, Holly was accompanied not by his own group, but by session musicians. One of the three songs recorded was a remake of an earlier title from the July session. Ironically, it was not That'll Be the Day. They remade, but Rock Around with Ollie V. Yet despite the added talent of Boots Randolph on saxophone and Grady Martin on lead guitar, the session was comparatively fruitless. A second single was issued at Christmas, coupling Modern Don Juan with You Are My One Desire, and that record also had no success. The origins of the remaining tracks are not certain, but it seems more than likely that they were recorded privately by Holly in Norman Petty's studio in Clovis, New Mexico, during the early months of 1956, particularly in the case of Rock Around, in the case of I'm Gonna Set My Foot Down and Rock A Bye Rock, as demos to send to Nashville for submission for future sessions. These demos remained unissued until several years after Holly's death, when they were released in stereo with added accompaniment overdubbed by the Fireballs under the supervision of Norman Petty. There are various theories, ladies and gentlemen, as to why Holly's first commercial recordings were unsuccessful. I mean, you've been listening to them since the beginning of this broadcast today. This is hot stuff. There is no doubt that after his early success around Lubbock and his subsequent signing by one of the country's major labels, who after all were having success with Billy Haley, Holly was disappointed not to have made it. In some cases, he may have rubbed people the wrong way, as Jerry Allison suggests. He always knew what he wanted, and if somebody didn't do it like he wanted it done, there would be conflict. You see, Buddy was never meek, and Don Guest substantiated it. He said, Buddy was very temperamental at times. He definitely wanted his own way. Mr. Denny and his wife had a lot to do with holding Buddy down as far as temper was concerned in sessions. The facts of the matter are, however, that the ingredients were wrong. You see, Holly's group was first class, and Sonny Curtis remembers how flattered he was that on the first session he was allowed to play lead guitar while Grady Martin, a top session player, played only rhythm. But nobody really knew what to do with Holly. Sonny Curtis remembered nobody messed with us at all, told us how they wanted it to sound. They just turned on the mics and let us go. They weren't really into rock and roll, and they didn't know what to do. They knew it was happening, and they just wanted a rock and roll artist, and they didn't have a clue as to how rock and roll should sound, because everything in Nashville was still basically country. Owen Bradley, one of the industry's most respected producers, admits, "I'll tell you what happened. Paul Cohen and I felt we should record him country. But Paul said, look, just call our regular guys and do country. We'd go in to record him, but Buddy had a feeling to go in a different direction. He heard a different drummer." Referring to the later recording of That'll Be the Day, he confesses, "I don't know whether Decca dropped him or not, but he turned up with us on Brunswick, which was a subsidiary of Decca. This time he was doing it the way he heard it, and this is the way it should have been done in the beginning. It was good to see that happen. He proved he was right, but see, we had no real experience doing what I call rock. That was sort of a disaster, I guess," and then he laughed. Well, whatever the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, Holly undoubtedly learned a lot from his experiences in Nashville. Had the recordings been hits, only two singles were ever released at the time, then Holly might have been forced, like so many other rock and roll stars, to stick to the formula that brought him that success and to remain in a musical environment that discouraged change. As luck was to have it, success was nearer his home in Lubbock than Nashville. For Holly, convinced that That'll Be the Day had hit potential, decided to try things another way, and within weeks of his last Nashville session, was planning to make the 100-mile journey from Lubbock to Clovis, New Mexico, to the studio owned by Norman Petty. Make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that you don't touch that dial, because you're not going to hear any broadcast like this anywhere else in the world. This is the Hour of the Ton. I'm William Cooper, and the star is Buddy Holly.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. Well, you know you love me, baby. And you tell me, maybe that someday will I'll be you. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yeah, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say don't leave. You know it's a lie. Cause that'll be the day when I die.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and that was the day because that song made Buddy Holly.
Laying at home, waiting for you, just won't get it, cause you say it was you. Well, I'm looking for someone to love, I'm looking for someone to love. Whether it's not you, baby, I don't care, cause I'm looking for someone to love. Playing the field all day long, since I found out I was wrong. Well, I'm looking for someone to love. someone to love. Well, if you're not human, I don't care if I'm a little someone to love.
Didn't make it back. The next one, Last Night. But it wasn't.
Last night, as I watched the stars from my window, I prayed, Lord above, to guide and protect you. Though I'm not holding back, I still love you. Somehow, that is my only prayer for you. Last night, as I gazed through the mist in my eyes, I wanted you here to hold you so near, but silence tells me you didn't hear my plea. I miss you so much and you left me. My heart aches apart since you left me. So I'm not.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be, 101.1 FM, Eager.
Light out for the purpose of your
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a special memorial presentation honoring three of this nation's greatest rock and roll stars. J.P. Richardson, also known as the Big Bopper. Richie Valenzuela, whose professional name was Richie Valens. Charles Holly, whom we all know as the great Buddy Holly. And so we're playing every single record that Buddy Holly ever cut during his entire career tonight. Most of these records, most of you have never heard and would never have heard had this broadcast never taken place. And I hope you're enjoying it, because I certainly am. Now, without any further ado, let's get back to the music, because that's really what it's all about.
My heart aches apart since you left me. Though I'm not wanted now, I still love you somehow. That's my only prayer for you.
Tell me, where are we? Oh, okay, maybe baby. This is one of the greats, folks. Well, you can tell, I guess, that that's not the one that became the big hit. You're going to hear earlier versions of all of the biggest Buddy Holly records right here on 101.1 FM, Eager, and the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
Hold me close and tell me how you feel. Tell me love is words of love, with the soft and chill. Darling, I love you. Let me hear you say the words I want to hear. Dying when you're near. Mm-hmm. I'll love you with the soft and sweet. Darling, I love you.
And here it is, folks, the one you've been waiting for. Was a Peggy Sue, ladies and gentlemen, and she was around every day.
Every day, it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster.
At least for a while.
Riders will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day, it's getting faster. Everyone could go and match her. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day seems a little longer. Every way, love's a little stronger. Come what may, do you ever long for true love from me? Every day, it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, that made Buddy Holly rich. as a young man. If a country boy from Lubbock, Texas can be a great rock and roll star, and if I can be a DJ on this radio broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, and if you've all got the same size brain and the same opportunities, just think what you can do. Of course, nobody wants you to know that.
Only one sad man told me she's no longer mine. It's a mailman that will do for some time.
Oh, boy. Well, see what happens when you listen to me, folks?